Sorry for preempting Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Transformed and five other podcasts, all of which are ranked in the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide. Transformed is ranked in the top 0.5% of all podcasts globally. Why is it so popular? It's because it's so biblical and it is so helpful. And I'm preempting at the beginning of the program to encourage you, if you have been helped by Transformed, would you consider becoming a gospel partner and supporting us as the year draws to a close? Such a crucial time. We have a match giving campaign, which means your gift's impact will be doubled. So if Transformed has been a blessing, would you please consider blessing us with a year-end gift? You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about the tide of technology. Oh yeah, the tide of technology. As we start this new year, I want to help equip you, and I myself also want to personally be an example to you, to my family, and the way that we are being disciplined in our use of the digital world. Some of you that follow me on Instagram, we've had conversations as of late in terms of the best way to do that. You guys have sent me videos. I've showed you what we're doing at the house. And in these next two episodes, I want to try to tease out basically the way that our technology is shaping us or misshaping us. Now, a couple of things before we jump in. Thank you, first of all, to those of you that have gone on to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, anywhere you listen to podcasts and reviewed us. When you just do a simple six stars, I don't know if that's possible. When you help rate us, it allows other people to see us, and it is amazing to watch God use Transformed. So let's keep it going. Let's get the truth of Scripture out there. Next, I also want to say thank you for those that have written in and shared family worship stories. So if you have a success story in family worship, send it my way. I'll share more in the next episodes that we're doing, but I want to say thank you to that. Okay, now to our subject at hand, let me tell you about the year that changed the world. And you may be thinking, all right, Dr. Gifford, like, is that 1792 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue? Close. Is that going to be when electricity was invented? It's like, no. Is it 1966 when the world's most beautiful car was created, which is the Pontiac GTO? Also, no. When is the year that changed the world? Well, my birth year, obviously. No, I'm just kidding. Not my birth year. When is that year? It is 2007. So something interesting is happening. Those of you that joined me on Transform Lectures recently, I described how the birth rate in America is actually on the decline. We're watching us now go below a 2.0 rate in births, which is divided off like 1,000 families, how many kids they have. And we've slowly gotten to the point in 2025 where we have less than 1.7. We're hovering right around 1.6 as our national birth rate. And you may say, and what does that have to do with technology? I am glad you asked. In 2007, the birth rate irreversibly declined. And what also started in 2007? You guessed it, the iPhone. June 29th, 2007, the iPhone was released. And ever since then, birth rates have been on the decline. Young people are getting married later and later and not having children. What's going on in this equation? Well, the way that relationships used to take place were face-to-face. You had to have the courage to go talk to someone. You had to go to places where people were. But now what's taking place is online. You can communicate with people. And you can start to curate your own type of algorithms that feed you information that matches kind of your viewing history. So what can literally happen now is what we used to have to do is go meet in person and talk to people in person. Well, now we can Zoom. Now we can text. Now we can direct message you or Marco Polo you. And then that doesn't even count all the social media stuff, the YouTube stuff, and the content that's coming our way. Why did 2007 become the year that the history was shaped? Is because the year the iPhone was released, everything began to change. And we are living in the downstream of that. When I say stream, I want you to think of ocean, current. I want you to think of that analogy just for a second. I think it's helpful to describe technology like a current or like a tide. And I would argue that it is the tide of technology. Okay, for those of you that are familiar with water, rivers, oceans, just think like when you go to a certain body of water and you get into that, what takes place is it starts to pull you. Even if you've been to like a Summer Waves, Six Flags, Hurricane Harbor, you get in the Lazy River and the Lazy River starts to actually pull you in a certain direction. What happens is in the ocean, whenever we take our family out, I'll say, hey boys, you guys need to go out. And when you go out, look back, this is where our umbrella is located. So make sure that you keep this umbrella in your view. Like, I don't want you drifting too far. I don't want you going out too far. Why? Because the tide will actually pull you and it will pull you in ways that you did not anticipate. Technology serves like that tide. Oftentimes we are swimming around in technology to the point that we don't always realize where it is pulling us and how. Remember, I did a couple of episodes on your environment, and your digital environment is one of those. Like, some of us are out swimming in the ocean of our digital environment. And if you're not watching me right now, I'm doing swimming motions. Blah, 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 blah. I think I just hit the mic in the process. Sorry about that. And now when I look at moving and I say, okay, how did I get so far out here? It's like, well, you haven't kept track of your digital environment and how technology is shaping you. It's interesting because technology is pulling us in ways that we haven't always considered. And I want to share kind of a sad story. And honestly, I didn't do a lot of good in this particular situation. A family that I know reached out to me and they said, hey, Greg, would you be willing to talk to our son? He has significant questions about the faith. And I mean, you could probably guess what that means because it's not like I am super excited or like those questions didn't sound like they were great questions. It wasn't like, hey, he wants to go to Masters. How can he get in? He loves the authority, inspiration, and inerrancy of scripture. It's like he has questions about the faith. So of course, you know, I want to help serve. I do my best to be available, especially if you're like a personal contact or friend. It's like, yeah, I can at least answer an email or a phone call. So I did. I reached out to him and I said, hey, yeah, totally. So-and-so, can you let me know your questions? And I will do my best to answer them. So he did. It started with discussing the resurrection and a historical resurrection and Jesus' physical body. Yes, yes, yes. And then I answered that question and he had more questions. And I said, well, hey, can you help me understand really like what is the issue? And he used a term that you are all familiar with. It's deconstructing or deconstructionism. Think of deconstructionism as taking apart a building. If you were to take apart a building, you would remove one brick, another brick, and you're slowly pulling it apart. You're deconstructing. You're not constructing. I said, hey man, like who are you reading and where are you going to get information? And this is an exact quote. He said, on YouTube, I found Paulo Gia to be a good source and Gutsick. It was points they made that moved me further along my deconstruction and the lack of logical rebuttals from their opposition that pushed me towards the end. Where was he getting the information? YouTube. Seriously. You recognize that when you watch a YouTube video, it suggests another video for you? Now, before you're like, oh, thanks, YouTube. You love me so much. Have you realized that you're out swimming in the ocean and that YouTube's pulling you a direction right now? It's curating algorithms for you and then bringing along that next video. So where was he getting this information? He's getting this information from YouTube. Let me point out to you a couple of things that have happened in just the past few years and consider how staggering the digital world is changing right beneath our feet. Number one, mobile phones. Okay, like if you don't have a mobile phone right now, even a flip phone, it's kind of like, who are you? What grandpa train did you fall off? Like you and I probably don't know someone without a mobile phone. It's so interconnected to our banking, transport, maps. Like a mobile phone is almost something we're dependent on now to be able to just function in our daily lives. So that's our mobile phones. And then you add to that the iPhone or the smartphone. And for you Android listeners, all three of you out there, you do count too. You're image bearers as well. you guys know I got to mess with you. The green text people, that's what we'll call you. You have a smartphone and that means that that smartphone is starting to shape. You're using it all day. You're texting, making phone calls, checking emails. We have tablets now. Tablets are commonplace. They're not super expensive anymore. smartwatches. In fact, Verizon gave us a free one when we added a line, and it was like, now my 11-year-old has a smartwatch. And then, of course, we all kind of are feeling a bit nauseous of talking about artificial intelligence. But of course, AI is a thing, and AI is taking over. I watched a commercial this morning where a lady is wearing the Meta glasses and fixing a tricycle while asking AI how to do it. So those are fascinating. Oculus, think Ready Player One, or think those that actually have a video game system, they will wear these glasses, and then they're like lightsabering their way. Wah, wah, wah. It's this alternate reality. Technology is, it is like a current, and the technological changes, even in the past 10 years, are profound, staggering. Now, when I say staggering, I didn't say evil or inherently evil. I said staggering, meaning like this is a big deal. And you need to note that 2007 is the year that has changed a generation. You got to be clear on that. So the question that we have to begin to ask ourselves is, where is technology helping, or where is it holding us back? Where is it helping, or where is it holding us back? We want to ask the question, where is the tide of technology taking us? Are you okay with that statement? Where is the tide of technology taking us? Now, I am not saying it's taking you always to inherently evil places, although it is. There are times whenever this is now connecting me to evil, and what's taking place through technology is purely sinful. Yes, that's totally true. But as some of you listen to this, I am using a microphone, I'm using cameras, I'm using a laptop, I'm using a cell phone to record this type of content and get it to you. So we know that not all technology is bad. We see it as a vehicle or a conduit or a medium, and we're having to be intentional about the use of that medium. So my goal in today's episode and next week's episode is to show you some of those liabilities of technology and then offer ways to biblically harness technology for God's glory. And when I talk about technology, I am talking about ensuring that we see social media, we see computers, we see our phones, we see all of those through the lens of, I want to harness this tide to move me along the path of glorifying God. So I need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll pick up with this thought. Jimmy, I turn it over to you, sir.
We'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And he just put to words something that a lot of pastors, a lot of parents are feeling, but they can't quite name. An entire generation is deconstructing their faith, not because they're looking to be rebellious, but because they're being discipled by algorithms. That's why places like the Masters University matter so much right now. If you're a high school senior or you have a high school senior in your family, the Masters University, I cannot recommend it enough. TMU is training students to think clearly in this upside-down digital world that is constantly pushing doubt. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/transform. But look, that applies to all of us. That's where Fortis Plus comes in. Because Fortis Plus, we're not trying to replace your news feeds. We're actually trying to give you content that pulls you back into reality. And it's absolutely free. It won't cost you anything. It's full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now, and we're adding to it every single day. The reason that Fortis Plus is free is because of our gospel partners. These are men and women who believe in what we're doing here at Fortis Institute so much that they decided to link arms with us and join in this mission to reach more people with more truth in more places all over the world. So if you would like to link arms with us, we would be so eternally grateful. You can find out more about what that looks like right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed.
Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about the tide of technology and where it is actually pulling you and moving you. One of the things that I've said so far is that you have to recognize this rapid digital change and really this year of decline of 2007, and after that point, birth rate is down, the use of pornography is up, we see that people are not getting married, and the cell phone in 2007, with June 29th, 2007 being the exact date of the iPhone's launch, that has become really this waypoint for understanding a whole generation is being shaped by technology. Now, when I talk about the liabilities of technology. These are in part from a buddy named Tim Bryant. He says that the growing liabilities include the massive growth of evil and sin, the effect on the body and the brain and overuse and overstimulation, the neglect of personal and relational development, tools that you need to interact in relationships for the future, and that technology has a great potency. But I want to add one more thing, which is relationship skills clearly are being diminished through the use of technology, that we used to actually have to go to a place and have the courage to talk to someone, but now that can take place all online. Or I can send a scathing email via online instead of having a tense conversation in person. Or I'm watching a video, I think the person's kooky, and I just make this really harsh comment about them. I have to say, like, you still are lacking communication skills, and that is a great liability. When we talk about the massive growth of evil and sin, to use Tim's words, did you know that Pornhub started the same year that the iPhone started? Did you know that? And that Pornhub had over, I think it's 1 million daily views within its first 7 months of existence. So what are we talking about? Like, a generation is being really tainted and infected by sexual immorality. And how is that being trafficked in? Through technology. Okay, you're like, Dr. G, take it easy on me, man. Okay, now, notice what I have not said so far. I have not said that we all need to get rid of our laptops, get rid of our phones, burn our cameras. I haven't said that. Remember in Ephesus, what takes place where in Ephesus, they literally take all of their witchcraft, occult practices, put it in a big pile and burn it. It gets so scary that Demetrius, the local idol maker, is like, hey, guys, we need to start our union and start a riot and protect against these Christians. Well, just notice I haven't said that. What I have said, though, is that there is a great liability here. So I want to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then I want to frame some of this concept. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, but the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created to be shared in with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know, the false teachers here are actually forbidding something that is good, which is marriage and food. And we say amen and amen. Lord, thank you for the gift of marriage. Whoever finds a wife finds a great thing. That's what the scripture says. But here, we see that false teaching means you take something that's inherently good, and then you say you can't use it. You forbid to use that. In fact, that's demonic. The doctrine of demons takes truth and twists it and says you can't enjoy these things. Asceticism is not the answer. And remember, asceticism in Colossians 2:23, it does not remove the indulgence of the flesh. So if you're like today saying, hey, Dr. Gifford, I am going to get rid of my phone, I'm going to get rid of my laptop and my iPad, then I would say to you, that's not going to fix the problem. That is asceticism, and you are not dealing with the root of the issue. Rather, what you have to think is that these things are inherently good, and they can be used by God to glorify him. So how do we harness technology for the glory of God? That is the thrust of the question. How do I take what is potentially a dangerous thing and then move it into this category of, I'm going to use cameras, microphone, laptop, I'm going to use that to make much of Christ and to glorify him instead of retreating? I don't want anyone to listen to these episodes and say, all right, I'm moving to a cave, I'm going to sell wax and eat turtle shells. I don't know if you can do that anyway, so let me know if that is possible. All right, so how do we harness? First of all, let's start by recognizing the great potentialities of what you have. I want you to think, if you're watching this right now on your phone, that that is a great potential for good, and that your phone can be a means of evangelizing, focusing on the kingdom of God, encouraging other people, strengthening the church, or your phone can actually be a means of hurting your relationships, trafficking in sexual immorality, hurting people with corrupt communication. What do you have? Something of great power, and with great power comes great responsibility. That feels like a G.I. Joe quote, so that's not biblical, just to be clear. So this potential is something that I can use for good. Don't reject it. Don't chuck it against the wall right now. Don't try to just turn it off and ignore phone calls. That's not the answer. Recognize the potentials. Second, see them for what they are. I'd like you to see these devices as conduits of information. Think of a conduit as a pipe. That pipe allows information to get to you, and it also allows you to get to information. So our technology is just trafficking for us, and maybe it seems benign. You're checking your bank statements. Maybe you're responding to a work email. It's like, yes, but what are we doing? We're trafficking back and forth that information. And that type of information is going to include social media, ESPN, watching a movie, watching a YouTube video. Like, that's the information that we're tracking. So for you, think about yourself this way. You are an image bearer. And go back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. I said that you will reflect back your environment. And if you're not careful, then you are having information tracked to you while you are passively receiving that information. In 1 Corinthians 5:6, that a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. Or 1 Corinthians 15:33, that bad company corrupts good morals. So recognize that if you're not careful, you're letting information come in, you are reflecting it back, and you are actually being corrupted by the information that you're tracking into yourself. The second thing is that Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but you know my favorite word, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So if you are spending all of this time on media, all of this time on technology, then recognize that transformation is going to be really, really hard because you are not separating yourself enough from these things to actually be distinct from them. John Howe said in 1634, he said, you will be as the things you converse most with. They will leave their stamp and impress on you. Wandering after vanity, you will become vain. Minding earthly things, you will become earthly. Accordingly, being taken up with the spiritual things, you will bear their image and you will become spiritual. So what are you allowing to get to you? That's the first thing to consider. Second, in harnessing technology for God's glory, what are you communicating? What's coming from you? Technology does not make you absorbed with how you look. It doesn't make you speak corruptly. It doesn't make you envious. Those are all heart issues that are overflowing through the means of technology. It's like that lottery scratcher ticket. It's drawing out, or it's like that scratch and sniff. It's drawing out what was already there. So technology is actually bringing something out of your heart that is dishonoring to the Lord. So if you're slanderous through technology, there's a heart issue. If you're covetous through technology, there's a heart issue. If you're wanting to represent yourself as being successful, beautiful, your family's awesome, there's a heart issue, and it's not a technology issue. Remember, if you're trying to represent yourself as the Pinterest wife or the Instagram mom or the bodybuilder dad or the car guru dad, like, that is you actually trying to misrepresent reality, and that's not Instagram's fault. That's coming from your own heart. So the first thing that I said is recognize this great potential. Second, see them as conduits of information. And third, technology is potentially crowding out your spiritual appetite. Jeremiah Burroughs, English Puritan, I quoted him in The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. He said, do not grasp too much of the world. Do not take in more of the business of the world than God calls you to. How do you know if you're being filled by technology? I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. How often do you prefer time with technology rather than time in the Word? Would you rather zone out on a YouTube video, or would you rather spend time reading about God, reading on books about God, reading scripture, meditating on God, or would you rather just doom scroll? How often do you prefer time with technology to fulfilling the one another's of Scripture? Loving one another, being kind, tender-hearted. How often is the most looked forward to time of your day time with technology? If that's happening for you, then let me just warn you that technology isn't this benign, neutral thing for you. It's starting to crowd out your appetite for the things of God. That you're not going to have a hunger for the Lord if you are also concurrently stuffed with the things of the world. So I need to stop for today. When we come back in our next episode, I'm going to finish this, and then I want to give you principles that I'm trying to live by and principles that I encourage you to live by, especially when we talk about our smartphones. So let me pray for us and we'll be done for today. Lord, you have put us in a technological society, and even America is not the most technologized as we think of other countries in Asia that are, everything is remote and robots even being used. Lord, but give us grace. Most of us are listening in a Western culture. Help us to be individuals that love you. We do not want to be conformed to this world, and help us to be super intentional about the dangers of our smartphone, and may we use them to glorify you, not glorify ourselves, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.